Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and this is Quincy Jones.
I'm getting warm.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Wow. As you come into the stillness, I want you to move from your head and right into your heart space, just absolutely giving gratitude to God. Even if you feel like you don't have a reason, just thank God. Thanking God for all that is. And I just want you to take this time to be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness, I want you to release all ideas of guilt, shame, struggle, as we believe in the knowing that we are all that God is. Let's forgive.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be, and it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Throughout every aspect and fiber of your being, golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light. And release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt, and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes. And stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Sometimes I fail to see you're the reason that I believe. You sacrificed your love for me in spite of all the bad decisions that I made. And this is why I say I will glorify the King, the one that I adore, when no other heart could ever love me more. You magnify your life in me with no regard for all the promises I've made. And this is why I say I will glorify the King.
We glorify the Lord.
Glorify the King.
We glorify the Lord.
Glorify the King. Let all the angels sing and glorify His holy name. I know that I'll never be the same, so I glorify the King, 'cause now I see you're the reason that I believe. Because you gave your life for me, I will worship you with every breath I take. The more I pray, the more I love Christmas Day. And this is why I say I will glorify the King.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's glorify the King. That was Kim right here on the Love Journey with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to start by what? Reading from the Science of the Mind. Whew, I'm still high from this is what I see. All right, whose world is this, family? Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is mine. The world is yours. Yes. Good morning. Good morning. The world is yours. The world is mine. Whose world is this? All right, family. We're going to start by reading the science of the mind, what you are saying to yourself. Joel 3 and 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. In a book called Creative Mind and Success on page 30 by Ernest Holmes, man's words spoken forth into creative mind is endowed with power of expression. Maya Angelou wrote, a bird doesn't sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. We should sing our success song. No matter how the situation looks, this is what secures the victory. Many people discount the weight of words. Words have liberated people, but they have also limited people in their potential to live productive and prosperous lives. What we really say does matter. It creates and shapes our every experience. Scripture above, Joel shares some powerful principles. First, we are taught to use what we have in order to do what we need to do. He told the children of Israel to beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears. You already have everything you need to succeed. You just need to develop it and deploy it. What you need is inside of you, not outside of you. Put it to use. You are equipped for excellence. He goes on to tell them, let the weak say, I am strong. Again, what you say to yourself matters. Don't let your conditions define you. Define your conditions instead. Take control of your circumstances by the words you choose to speak. Let your words flow from what you believe, not what you see. For what you see is not always reality. What you see could be a farce or a fake, but what you believe is truth, the basis and building block for your future. The beginning of your impending success or failure, make sure it's positive and productive. The affirmation is, I speak positive, faith-filled words to myself about myself, and I watch them unfold in my life. I speak positive, faith-filled words to myself about myself, and watch them unfold in my life. I speak positive, faith-filled words to myself about myself and watch them unfold in my life. I love it, love it, love it. What are you saying to yourself, family? What are you saying to yourself? Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. I sit for dumb Pete watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes all the words past the margin. The whole of mic I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement. It's yours. The world is yours. The world is yours.
Whose world is this? It's ours, family. Whew. So let's listen for this 6-minute clip on how beauty can heal us.
I remember that line by the existentialist philosopher Albert Camus. He used to say life should be lived to the point of tears. And of course, he's referring not to unbearable suffering, I think, but rather to aesthetic bereavement, right? When you're moved by something so beautiful that there's almost a cognitive dissonance between what you're beholding and what you know the average to be, right? Ella de Botton famously wrote that the reason beauty can make us sad is because what it hints at is the exception, is because what it hints at is the ideal. Think about it. The term, of course, is aesthetic arrest. When you witness an architectural form, a painting, a landscape, landscape, a spectrum of colors that burns itself on your iris. You are arrested. Your cognitive apparatus is beheld in aesthetic arrest. There's even a syndrome that can happen in these moments. People can be so overwhelmed, transfigurated by beauty, that they can have actual physiological effects like heart palpitations. They can even lose consciousness. We call this Stendhal syndrome. When religious pilgrims visit the Holy Land, like Jerusalem, they stand in front of the synagogue, church, or mosque, and before they know it, they're on the floor. Imagine walking into the Sistine Chapel and looking up at that ceiling. Beauty is an altered state of consciousness. Beauty is an extraordinary moment of poetry and grace. Beauty cracks us open, and as Leonard Cohen said, it is through our cracks that light gets in. So are we all addicted to beauty? Does beauty provide a drug-like high? Do aesthetics matter? I remember watching Jordan Peterson talking about why you need art in your life, and he cited people in a museum looking at the Renaissance portraitures and gawking in astonishment at billion-dollar art collections, and he asked himself, what are they doing? Why does that painting cost $1 billion? Why are people standing in front of it? They don't know what that means. We stand in astonishment, dumbstruck in wonder when we gaze upon art, because the transcendent, he says, shines through the madness. Feel the same thing when you walk into a Gothic cathedral. Even the atheists among us are held captive by the light coming in through the stained glass, which is like light going through trees. Beauty arrests because it points to something beyond the everyday. Beauty arrests because it hints at a realm of the sacred. Beauty arrests because it awakens the religious impulse in us. Beauty can shake us out of our jadedness. There can be no cynicism in response to being overwhelmed by the beatific. Form and function matter. And so surround yourself with beauty. Listen to beautiful music. Soundscape your world. Curate your environment. Choose diligently the people you share time with. As McKenna said, you become what you behold. Introduce some art and beauty into your life. It'll seep into your pores. It'll change what lies within. It'll transform the deepest part of you. Let the music make you cry. Gaze upon the fading sunset. Weep before the sadness. Let it take over. Why do we cry when we see something beautiful? Because of the cognitive dissonance that needs to be resolved. The moment of catharsis and the moment of absolution is the moment when the wrong becomes right. Open yourself up to the experience. Awaken yourself to our common experience. Go chase.
beauty.
Wow. I just love that. I just wanted to play it. Oh, I love that. Awaken yourself to the common ecstasy. Go chase beauty. There's so many things today to be grateful for today. Health, family, the air we are breathing, the sun that keeps our planet alive and thriving, and something as simple as knowing that we were given another day to live, love, and to learn, and to be in beauty. I've been thinking a lot. Thinking a lot what I want to write in my new book. Thinking about what I want to say that will be soul stirring. There's so many messages right now because it's the month of gratitude for Thanksgiving. And I thought I didn't want to be trite, repetitive, or regurgitation of all the messages that's out right now. But curiously, what came to me today, remember today is a wonderful day. The beauty of today. The beauty of the trees, the beauty of the leaves, the sun, the moon. And to recognize and be grateful for the fact that you, as you and me, are already beautiful. We're already enough. Many of us in our lives feel that we need to acquire some outside statuses, qualifications, appearances, or wealth before we are enough. I think if we can change this one thing about ourselves, the world will automatically be a million times more happier than it is today. In America especially, we're so driven by outer results, our competition and the American dream, that we forget to totally miss the fact that we already are whole, beautiful, and complete. You see, there's a major indifference between thinking I'm incomplete and trying to chase the completeness and knowing that I am enough. And expressing and being your enoughness, chasing anything from a place of incompleteness brings only stress, worry, and a rat race that you can never quite finish. You see, the carrot is always just out of reach. We think to ourselves, if I could only get that carrot, then I'll be happy. And that carrot could be money. That carrot could be a relationship, a promotion, a house, a new car, clothing, a college degree. The truth is, none of these carrots will make you happy for a long period of time. It's only when we recognize that we are already more than enough and act from a place of fullness that long-term contentment, happiness, and peace will be ours. When you know you're already enough, you do not chase a person, place, or thing to fill you up or to make you feel better. No, when you are whole, you walk through life with a healthy sense of love and detachment from the comings and goings of life. Let me say that again. When you know you are already enough, you don't have to chase a person, place, or thing to fill you up or to make you feel better. No, when you are whole, you walk through life with a healthy sense of love and detachment from the comings and goings of life. You attract other people, circumstances, and events that are whole. When you are whole, you are seeking to enter all relationships to give instead of to get, and you will find that you would attract who wish to give to you instead of getting from you. Knowing that you are enough is not some trite phrase or heady self-help concept. It's a simple decision you make, followed by the action you take. To be instead of to chase, give love away, and engage with people who do the same thing. It's about having high enough standards to love someone but not tolerate any more BS. Knowing you are enough also means you will value and charge a premium for your time instead of devaluing yourself and your time. See, your enough life is a reflection of this one belief. Do you have to chase from a place of emptiness, or can you be from a place of fullness? This one decision and perspective influences your entire life, your finances, your relationships, your spiritual life, your health, and your creativity all increase and become more meaningful when you know you are already enough. So today, more than anything, know and live the fact that you are already enough. Be grateful that you are enough. And don't look back. You are more than enough. Sometimes we forget. And with so many things happening right now in our own personal lives, and it's so easy to forget that you are enough. I think about being in gratitude a lot. I think about gratitude more as I've gotten in the space of season in my life. It's become a part of my spiritual practice to understand that I was born enough. And it took a while. It took a while. It didn't happen overnight, no. I always thought I needed something. And as we embark upon Thanksgiving and we are more thoughtful about being thankful, one of the things that I wake up and I just want to give thanks. Becoming the woman I have become, being grateful for the journey that it took to even get here. I love Maya Angelou. She said, I wouldn't give nothing for the journey. I wouldn't give nothing to know and to grow into the knowing that I'm already enough, that I didn't have to do anything different, that I didn't have to get another degree, I didn't have to go get another certification, I didn't have to have the best body, the best hair, the best shoes, the best car, but simply to know that I was enough just the way I was. Just the way I am, more than enough. That was a real journey. It was interesting, you know, I had pain beyond pain this week coming, you know, this week. Tuesday, I left the election central place, came home, my head was in excruciating pain. Wednesday, I stayed in the tub for a couple of hours, so with the magnesium, so I was able to bear through the pain on Wednesday. Thursday, it was so excruciating that I went to the doctor, and the doctor said it. I was like, I was begging her for an x-ray because my hand was so big and so swollen, and it was pain, just excruciating, just going through it, just pain shooting through my hand, right? And she said, babe, ain't nothing we're going to be able to see in the x-ray with your hand that's swollen and inflamed, right? And I'm thinking, what in the world? I mean, I was even kind of nervous. Like, am I going to be able to close my hand? I couldn't make a fist. I couldn't move my hand without pain. But I tell you, people love me. So Thursday when I got home from the doctor, they wanted me to take prednisone and some ibuprofen. I don't take medicine, so I didn't pick up the prescription. And I came home and I said to myself, what alternatives can I do to get rid of the inflammation? So Cecilia called me. She was like, what's going on? And I said I was in pain and everything. She got some stuff up, and she stopped by and brought me some Arnica, some ginger peels and some other stuff. So I rubbed the oil that she had brung and the cream on my head, and it made me bearable. And I had Brinson go get some ginger because I read ginger was good for the inflammation. I took the ginger peels that were mixed with black seed oil and all kinds of stuff, took that, and I was just chewing on ginger all day. I just had fresh ginger that Brinson had. And so I was able to get through the pain on that Thursday. Friday was getting better. Saturday got better. Sunday I was able to move my hand, and today I'm able to type a little bit with it, and I started to get my feelings and everything back in it. I'm so grateful. So grateful. Because I thought for a minute though, it was so big and so swollen and so strange, and I had not had any trauma to my hand. And I couldn't understand what had happened. So I'm like, what is this? What in the world is this going on in my hand, God? So I sat and I meditated and did all this stuff. But all I could think was, if I could just get past the pain, I could meditate. Because the pain was so excruciating that I couldn't meditate. I couldn't just get past the pain. And so once I was able to manage the pain, I could meditate and really ask what this experience came into my life for. What was I to learn from this experience? And one of the things I came to understand, I wrote it. I didn't write because I don't write with my left hand that well. But I just thought of how much I love my hand, and how much my hands. Oh my God, you just don't understand unless you've been. If you don't understand how much we need everything on our body, we don't understand how much everything is interconnected. I mean, it is just so amazing how the body works. And so I was thinking about doing how I was trying to feed myself with my left hand. And just let me tell you, I thank God for my family. When I went to the radio station on Friday, Brinson combed my hair. Oh, my God, it was so funny. I was like, babe, can you just brush a little harder so my scalp could feel the brush? And it was so funny. He was, like, trying to comb my hair, get me ready to go to the radio station. Asia helped me out. Everybody was so, you want to say thankful, just thankful. But the pain, what I'm going to say is that I'm so grateful because I didn't understand how much I took for granted everything we do with our hands. And me trying to do everything from my left side, I mean from feeding myself to trying to brush my teeth to washing my face. I just had to stop and say thank you for these hands. Thank you for my right hand. Thank you for all the things, the caress, the feelings, and everything. Thank you for everything coming back. And it was funny because last week I was trying to play a Reverend Ike, and I played a Reverend Ike that I wasn't intending to play in, and it was about the health in me. God in me is my health. And I was like, wow, God, because I wasn't trying to play that one, right? And I just kept saying, God in me is my health. And Zakiya was like, well, I was just wondering if the pain left your hand. I wanted to say, absolutely not yet. But I didn't say nothing when she asked that on the radio last week. And the pain just really subsided about Friday, Saturday, and it's just very little pain in it now. You know, it's so grateful. Thank God for being my health. I thank God for recognizing that. Some choices I have to make sometimes, maybe not the choices I want to make, but I know that everything works for the good of those who love God. And I know even when it's dark, and even when I feel like I'm in a valley, God has never left nor forsaken me, and I'm so grateful. Think about the message of beauty, the message of you are enough, the message of gratitude. It's really important to realize. Everything is important. It's so important to be grateful. Even when we can't see the blessing, even when we don't understand. Just thank you, God. I was sitting watching movies pretty much this weekend, reading books, being still. Didn't want to move my hand because the movement caused a lot of pain. How I end up watching this strange movie. It was called P-H-A-T-S, Fats. But it was about a girl, Monique. It was comedy kind of, but it had a theme to it. And Monique was the lead character. Monique is the comedian. And she goes wanting to start her own clothing line for fat girls. Eventually, she does get her clothing line, and she travels the world. But one of the things that I loved through the movie was the theme of the movie was that you had to learn to love yourself just the way you were. I was like, wow. And she did these love, once she went through her own pain and process, and she was crying because she thought she was too fat and all this stuff. And the guy said this to her, this guy who loved her, who wanted to be with her, he was a doctor from Africa. He was royal and he was rich. And she was so jealous and so possessed with so much things that he couldn't understand. And he said this to her. This was a breakdown. This was like, wow. He said, you speak so terribly of yourself and you think so terribly of yourself that anyone who wants to love you or who's trying to love you, you can't receive the love because you don't. So I'm like, wow. Now, that may sound like simple words. But how many times are we pushing good things that we desire out of our life because of our own inability to receive and accept ourselves and love ourselves just the way we are? And then as the movie goes on, so she goes through these love exercises that she does. She goes through these, I love myself and I love myself just the way I am. She takes her clothes off in front of the mirror and she looks butt naked in the mirror and tells herself she loves herself just the way she is from the top of her head to the sole. She started doing this every day. She cleaned up her environment. And guess what? Then she opens up for her to start her own clothing line for big girls, and it's called Thick Madame. And I was thinking, wow, even though it's a B-movie or whatever, it has such a great theme to it. Even my husband came like, what are you watching? I mean, I was into it. He would have thought I was watching a Denzel Washington movie or something. But it was so, I'm not saying like the movie is so good, like, oh, you got to go see it. But it was good because of the themes that were in the movie. And it was good because some of the lines in the movie, like, the inability to love yourself causes you the inability to receive love. You don't even know when love is present because you can't even love yourself. And when you're not loving yourself, you don't know when love is present. So today, I want to give you a blessing of love today. A blessing to remind you that you're already enough. You're already beautiful enough, already smart enough, intelligent enough, amazing enough. And so for nothing else today, I just want to remind you that nobody can do what you've been called to do the way you've been called to do it, and that your special self, it's already enough. And no matter how many times you walk in a place or think about something or feel like you need to compare yourself to other things or people, remember your journey is not their journey and their journey is not yours. And you're already equipped for your excellence. Don't let your conditions define you. Define your conditions. Instead, take control of your circumstances by the words, things you think, and the things you say to yourself. Let your words flow from what you believe, not what you see. For what you see is not always your reality, because what you see is a fake aid. But it's what you believe about yourself is the truth. But more importantly, it's the basis and the building block of how you create your life, your future. The beginning of your impending success or failure is based on how you see yourself. The words say, let the weak say, I am strong. The words say, let the poor say, I am rich. And so today I want to remind you, you have everything you need to succeed. You just need to develop it and deploy it. What you need is inside of you and it's not outside of you. Put it to use because you are equipped for excellence. That's my message for today. You already have everything you need. You are already more than enough, just the way you are. There's not anything else you need. And so as you remember, your inability to receive 99% of the time comes from the fact of your inability to see your own greatness. When that doctor walked up to Monique in the movie, I think Monique's character was named Tracy, but I might be wrong. He said to her, why are you so insecure? You're beautiful just the way you are. He said, you'll never be a size 5. Never. But that won't make you any less beautiful, because you're beautiful just the way you are. I love that little movie. I promise y'all I love that movie this week. And it was the work that she had to do. Because she almost sabotaged the relationship because of her own insecurities. He told her, and because he was trying to be a gentleman, this was really the interesting part. He was trying to be a gentleman. He didn't ask her for to take her to bed. He wanted to wine her and dine her. And she thought, because he never asked her to go to bed with him, that she was too fat, or she wasn't good enough, or that he didn't want to go to bed with her because of something that was wrong with her. So she fixed herself up one day, and he told her, when she tells him that she, why wasn't he attracted to going to bed? He said, well, that's not the truth. He said, I wanted to respect you. She said, well, you only kissed my hand. And, you know, she was fussing and all that stuff. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Tonight I have to go to a meeting with the head of the Medical International Association. He said, but tomorrow we'll make it right. So she walks into the restaurant that night, and guess who she sees? She sees him sitting with a lady, and she's slim, she's beautiful, and she acts a plum fool. Oh, so this is why you wouldn't sleep with me. This is who you've been seeing. This is it. I thought she said you was having a meeting with it, and she said, this is the lady who is the head of the medical association. And she looked and she drops her food and she runs out. After everybody in the whole restaurant is looking at her, right? So she's crying and crying and crying and crying and asking herself, why could she never feel enough when it comes to men? Why didn't she ever feel beautiful when she ever come to me? Why is it that she never felt like she could have a man that really loved her for her? And then she goes through a journey to her inner child. Her mother and her mother's sister her mother had a daughter, and her auntie had a daughter, and the grandmother raised both of them because the mothers were working hard. And the other little, her little cousin who was raised like her sister was a very slim girl. So all throughout life, she was picked on and beat up or talked about because she was a thick girl. And by the time she was a teenager, she was about 200 pounds. And so because she was always picked on, she realized that those were the reasons why she never felt good enough, because that was the song that constantly played in her head, the songs that the kids sang to her about her being fat. You know, they made up songs about her being fat. You know how kids do when you're little. And so when she was laying in the bed crying, she started beating the pillow and getting the anger out for all the times the kids talked about her and all the people who thought her cousin was better than her because her cousin was smaller than her. But her grandma was the only person who used to tell her how beautiful she was. So her grandmother comes to her in her sleep and reminds her, Tracy, I think that's the character name. I forgot her character name. She said to her, remember, people only feel about you the way you feel about yourself. Think you are enough, then people will find you enough. She said, Tracy, you are already more than enough. You are already beautiful. Stop this crying right now. This is what she said in her dreams. So Tracy gets up and looks at her grandmother picture and regains her strength. And she begins to look in the mirror. She cleans up her room because she tore up that room. That room was terrible. It's funny how when we feel bad about ourselves, how our environment reflects that same energy too. When she cleaned up her room and she bought herself a new mirror, she shined it up and she started doing her mirror work and her love work and loving herself and looking in the mirror with no clothes on, appreciating her body for what it was at that point. That's when her life started to change. Why am I saying this to you? Because I say it all the time in many ways. But I just felt the need to remind each and every one of us that no matter what's going on, no matter where we are, no matter if you're in a relationship that's strange and you don't understand why you're in it, what the lesson is, or why he's treating you or she treating you, or what's going on. Or maybe you don't have a relationship and you wonder why. I just want to let you know that nothing outside of you defines you today. Nothing. No matter what the seemingly appearances are. Outside of you defines you. And if you could do one thing today, I would say create your space and allow your space to reflect the beauty that you are. When you came on, you heard, after the prayer, you heard the beauty, why beauty makes us who we are and how important it is to create a beautiful environment. That today, your assignment. Just make your environment beautiful. I'm not saying go spend elaborate money. Just clean up your space. Wash in beautiful comfort. Go, if you need artwork and play beautiful music, and go and get you some beautiful candles and just make your place beautiful. And just remind yourself that you are enough and that you're beautiful just the way you are. That's it. And begin there. And just give thanks for what you have. Maybe you want a bigger house. Maybe you want a house. Maybe you want something different to happen. But remember, none of that defines you. Not the kind of car you drive, not how much money you have. None of that defines you. Now, that doesn't mean it's not the things that we desire. And it's okay to desire those things, but it doesn't define you. So own it today. Own your beauty. Own that you are already more than enough. And remember, nobody can do what you came to the planet to do the way you came to do it. Babe, own all the hips, the thighs, all your beauty, all whatever you have or don't have. Remember, none of that makes you the woman. What did Barbara Stanley say? It's love that makes a woman, right? It's love that makes a woman. Y'all remember that song? Yep. All right, family, that's it. I'm not going to keep you. I want to just send some, it's 7-Eleven, huh? I'm going to send some love out to all those people who served in the military. And I want to give a shout out to my husband, Brenton Copeland. Army, his brother, Robert Yabra, his other brother, Willie Copeland, his two nephews, Napoleon Green, Arthur Napoleon Green III, Maurice Copeland, and I want to give lots of love to his niece, our niece, Brandy Green, and then all of those Chastity Wells in the Navy. And I just want to remind, as you speak the names of your loved ones who is in the service, I want to give gratitude to all those people and friends. It's interesting because a guy who was the first black Marine, Navy, I think he was Navy, passed away. He was the first. His name was Frank E. Peterson, first black general in the Marines. He died at 83. Frank E. Peterson. So I just want to send love out to him and his family, being able to be the first Marine. And it's interesting, all the things, because not only did I watch, oh, okay, I did say I was, that's it, but I just want to tell you this. This is such an interesting fact. So not only did I say that because I think about all the things we went through as a people to get to where we are today. I watched a documentary of James Brown, and we know it's interesting. James Brown was born, stillborn. His auntie kept breathing in him until he came to life, and then he came to life. His mother left him with his auntie, and he grew up in a brothel until he was 15, and then from 15 he went to jail, and I think he spent 7 years in prison from 15 to 21, and when he got out, he stayed with a guy in his family called Bobby Bird, and that's how he started the group called the Flames, something Flames. James Brown and the Flames. But anyway, James Brown was a millionaire by the time 1964, 65 came. Do you know James Brown was a millionaire at the height of civil rights movement? James Brown was a millionaire, family. I was like, wow. James Brown did not play when it came to getting his money and how he handled his business. I was thinking, wow, wow, wow. But it was something, the reason why I brung James Brown up, because it was real interesting. James Brown felt like he had to work extra and do extra because James Brown said that because he was a dark-skinned, short, stocky kind of guy, and he didn't think he was a kind of handsome kind of guy at the time. But he knew that he had something special. He studied Let me tell you how he even started on the road. Little Richard had got signed in L.A. to a record label, but he still had 31 assignments to do on the Chitlin circuit. And he couldn't do that and be signed in L.A. So he hired James Brown to go out and act like he was Little Richard, because nobody had ever seen Little Richard at that time, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of TV and stuff. So nobody didn't know what Little Richard looked like. So James Brown was doing the circuit as Little Richard. That's how he started his hollering. And then his first song was Please, Please as James Brown. And James Brown actually loved, loved, loved jazz. That's why he had a big band, and he just loved big band, and James Brown wasn't going to have it no way but his way. If you weren't going to do it his way, you weren't going to do it with James Brown. I don't care who you were. And that's how James Brown lived his life. But the one thing I wanted to say is James Brown used to look in the mirror every day and tell himself he was enough, more than enough, and he was the baddest man on the planet, and that he was black and he was proud. He used to do his mirror work, family. Oh, I know I said I was going to be done, but that's it. I just wanted to tell you. That was just so amazing to me. Just look at all of this prejudice and what was happening in the landscape of our country at a time at the height of James Brown. And James Brown really wanted to help our people overcome economic adversity. He wanted us to get out of poverty, and so he wasn't a man who voted based on partisanship. He based on who was going to help the economy. That was his way. But he sat and when he voted, his whole vote was based on how was that person going to help our people get out of economic hardship. And if you didn't, he would call you out on it. That's how James Brown was. He called Ronald Reagan out, baby. Okay, I know y'all think this girl is just telling me about movies and stuff she watched. Y'all can tell what my weekend was like. I didn't move because I was in pain, and so I just watched movies and got served all weekend. So that's probably why I'm talking about these movies. But it was really good, because it was interesting how everything I chose to watch had a theme. And the theme was to remind us to be grateful and to be remind us that it's how we think about ourselves. I watched the evolution of hip-hop. And hip-hop started in New York, of course, most of you all know that. But when you listen to a lot of the artists who started, like KRS, everybody know I love KRS, but I didn't know KRS meant Knowledge Reigns Supreme, Tribe Called Quest, and those other group, the Native Tongue, and the Jungle Brothers, who really started the conscious rap, who really made us, one thing they were saying that it was important that we had to know who we are. We have to know who we are. And so they were talking about knowing who we are from a perspective of people as a people of color. But when I was thinking about it, when KRS came on, it was important to know ourselves as fifth-dimensional beings, he said, to understand our own alchemy, to understand our own power, to understand who we are as magical beings. I was sitting on the edge of my bed the whole weekend like, wow. I just like, wow, this is so true. Who really given us the knowledge to understand who we are as magical beings? Who we are as alchemists, the power that exists inside of us that transcends this physical being that we can operate in and actually move the physical world from the invisible place. It was just so deep. It was just so good. I tell you. So I just, again, I'm done. I promise you I'm done now. Anybody got anything they want to add, press 1 on Blog Talk, *6 on the teleconference line. I just want to remind you that you are enough. That's what the whole message was about. So everything from beginning to end, it's just about you being enough. And that it's important that you realize that you are enough right now. From the movies that I watched this weekend to the documentaries to everything. It was just really themed about reminding us that we are enough. And I just had to send out some more love to Tupac. Tupac really understood how important it was to let women's stories be heard, and that it's important that men, especially as black men, take care of the sisters, because if they don't, who will? Tupac really had a message for the men to take care of the sisters. I was like, wow, I never really thought about that. So I just want to remind you today, it's up to us today to be those examples. Even in the middle of the darkness, the world needs our light. And we miss the whole purpose of our message and our mission when we choose to dim our light in the presence of darkness. See, it's going to require us to have courage, faith, and open heart to stand for what we believe in, to live our purpose out loud, and to allow ourselves to be seen for who we are and what we believe. It's your time, family, and this is a great time, a time to rise. It's time to rise in our purpose each and every day. And so I pray that the Love Journey is a voice in your ears that say move, have faith, find courage, and dare yourself to be seen today. Dare yourself to be seen. And the only way we can do those things, to live out loud, to love out loud, to live on purpose, is to know that you're already enough. You see, when we don't live out loud, when we don't allow ourselves to be seen, it's usually because we don't allow ourselves to do that. It's because we don't feel good enough. And I know I said this over and over again today, and this, I'll tell you, that movie really touched me when that man said to her, the reason you are not allowing love in your space is because you're not loving yourself. And he told her, when you get to the point that you can love you, then I can love you. Then you can receive my love. He said, until then, I'm gone. I thought, wow. Yourself to be seen. Allow yourself to be loved. And remember, it all starts with you. Again, press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 on Telecoffee. All right, family. Sending love out to all our military personnel and veterans, and reminding them that we appreciate the service. We appreciate the service. And remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. I'll catch you out in the morning, family. Have a great, phenomenal day. Most of us are off today, so let's have fun. Create beauty. I hope you got a chance to hear how beauty can heal us, because I love that. And remind yourself that you are already enough. When your mind starts to try to go anywhere, come back, and remind yourself you are enough. This is Quincy Jones, Body Heat. I'm taking you back, guys. I'm taking you way back. You've been tuned in to the Love Journey. Can you feel it?
Rising, and it's not surprising. But when you close to me, girl, it's so tantalizing. I can't help myself, I get so excited.
I'm getting warm.